Okay, so the show array, and we're in More Arrays Revised. What this is it's got the array for numbers, array for names, and the show array has count going from 0 to 4. And so it goes and gets the 0th element from the num array and the 0th element from the word array and puts it into work info, and it also displays it on the screen. Okay, so it's doing two things. It's putting it into a place called work info, and it's also displaying it on the screen. Okay. So, everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
I should have also said, I'm sorry, that work info is what I add, so I put it all together into work info, and then I display it on the screen. Then I said, okay, search. So if I click on search, I give it a number. I'll give it 156 and say, okay. And at that point, it goes and does the search and comes back and tells me the name is Visual Basic. Okay? So it's going in, doing the search. And again, we talked about this and or. This is saying, I want to stay in while the subscript is less than 5 and the match indicator is no. So I'm talking about stay in. If I wanted to, I could say get out when the work sub is greater than 4 or the match indicator equals yes. So that's the other way of getting out. So then I say if the number coming in is equal to the number in the array, set the indicator to yes. Otherwise, just add one and keep going. Okay, so this is my standard search. Now, the thing that we're looking at here most is the add course and the sort. So the add course, what do I want to add? Okay, I want to add 150, so that's the course number, and I want to add Oracle, so that's the course name. So now I've got it added in. Okay, so I added a course. And notice while I was adding the course, I wanted to put it in order. So the add course has all of the stuff that I need to put Oracle into the right spot. Okay, so the first thing I did is I said, redim preserve. So I am redimming those two tables and adding one or more element to it. Okay, so I've redimmed and preserved so that I can add it in. And then I put up the two prompts asking for the course number and the course name. And then I said, okay, input num, whatever came in, is going to go into course num array modified by course count plus 1. And the input word that I brought in is going in there. Okay. So then I'm going to do a basically put it in order. Okay, so take a look at that and see how it works. Okay, I said for I as integer, and I want to set I equal to course count to 0, step negative 1. So what does that mean? What am I doing there?
Setting the variable of the index.
Setting
the parameter of the index. We're talking about the negative
one. Right, so where is it going to start? What is the first thing? For I as an integer, for I equal to, where's it going to start? It's starting at course count, right?
Yeah.
So course count is how many courses I have in there plus 1 since I just added 1.
Okay.
So course count is up there. I'm going to go backwards from course count down to 0 because the step negative 1 is going to take me backwards. So I'm starting out at, the course count is now is 5. And I am going backwards, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Okay, so I'm going backwards down. So I'm starting out at course count and I'm going backwards.
When you add the course, it's 6, right?
6, but again, it's 0 to 5.
Yeah, it's 0 to 5.
Okay. So up at the top, I've got 4 as the main, as the biggest number. And now I'm going to have, it would if I had made room for it, it would have been 5 as the biggest number. Because 0 to 5 is 6 things. Okay? So I now said, if work number in equals number array 1 to 5 by work sub, then a match is found. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm looking at search. There it is. If input number is greater than or equal to num array I, okay, then get out, because I'm done. Otherwise, I do, what am I doing down there? I'm saying num array I plus 1. So I'm moving this to here, and I'm essentially juggling things until I get them in order. Okay, I'm moving them around and getting them in order. And when I finally come to the input number is greater than or equal to the number array I, then I stop. Okay, so if you look at this and think about it, I started out and I am looking at it and I want to put it in there. So I'm saying if input number, which is 150, is greater than or equal to the number in the array, then get out of the 4. Okay? So I'm going in and 150 is greater than or equal to 122, so the 150 can belong there. So I get out. Otherwise, I'm just flipping them around and putting them in. And when I get out, I actually add it in. So I get out when I hit a certain condition, which exits the for loop, and here's the for loop. And so I exit the for loop. Okay. I get out. Okay, but I didn't want to just add the 150 at the bottom. If I added the 150 at the bottom, I wouldn't have to go through this. Okay, so I started out at 5. And then I say, if the input number, 150, is greater than or equal to the num in the array. So that's 59. Okay, 150 is not greater than or equal to the 159, right? But eventually I will get to the point that 150 is greater than or equal to the 122. So that tells me, it's not greater than or equal to the 139, so I don't want to add it. It's not greater than or equal to the 156, so I don't want to add it. Then I compare to the 122. It is greater than or equal to, so that tells me I wanted to add it before the 122. So I exit the for loop at that point. So when I find the place where it should be, I exit the for loop. And then I have down at the bottom the sought, not up down at the bottom, a little further up, I have the sought, where I said, array sought. So this is the automatic sought, and it does it for me automatically. Okay, so that's the automatic sought. So if I look at my thing, and I've got, wait a minute, I've got up at the top an array that goes first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, okay? And I want to sort that. So I hit sort, and it's now alphabetically in order because I'm sorting. You come down to the sort, where is it? I am sorting on the items in the array. Okay, so array sort, and then I am sorting the two-sort array. And the two-sort array in it has first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. I'm putting them in order, so eighth is an E. There's nothing that starts with an A, B, C, D. So eighth starts with an E, so that's going to be the first thing. And first, fourth, and fifth all start with F, so those are going to be the next three. And it has to go to the second character to figure out which one to put first. And it ends up putting fifth, and then first, and then fourth. And then there are three that start with an S, and then the third. So it is doing the sort on this two-sort array. Where did it go? I can't see it because there's not enough room. So I'm doing the sort on the two-sort array, okay? And then once I get it sorted, I am going from count 0 to 7 and writing it out because there are 7 things there, 8 things there. Because I only went up to 7, 8. Okay. So I'm sorting these, putting them in order, and writing them out. And that's the easy way to do the sort. So I just say, array.sort. What array is it I want to sort? The two-sort array. And then just to prove it, I say, now we're going to do the for loop, and we're going to put out the contents of the array running from 0 to 7. And so I get the sorted content.
The array.sort takes care of the 2 off the upper order.
Say that again?
The array.sort.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Dot sort is the sort verb that Visual VB provides. And so I'm doing an array sort. So arrays can have the sort applied to them. So I'm doing the array sort. And what am I? Which array it is? I have to tell it which array because I have multiple arrays up there. So I have to tell it which array I want it to sort by. And it sorts by that, and then my for loop is for nothing other than to prove it worked. So that's all the for loop is doing, is proving that it worked. Okay? So I made you go through all that hassle of writing the sort, but then, surprise, it's easy. You're able to do it this way. The other thing that I wanted to look at is the two things that are back on my main page. So if you go to examples, and then you go to arrays, there's three arrays there that go with chapter 8, and I want to look at those And then we're going to back up and look at procedures and functions. Okay, so you want to download those intro array, calc array, and more arrays. Intro array was the first one, right? So we're going to start this and run it. You have a book? You want one?
For this course?
Yeah, for this course.
Sorry, what?
Okay. If you want to, after class, you can come back with me and I'll give you a book. It's a little out of date, as in, I think they're VB.net. But that's what we've been looking at all along here is VB.net. And so you can just take one of my books because
well,
I've got extras.
Majority of internet sources.
Okay. Well, if you want one, let me know because I like having a book. I think it's a lot quicker lots of times to look up in the index and flip to the page than to find a source that I like. It's easy to find a source on the internet.
Yeah.
But then to find one that I like.
Yeah, I definitely have to do more digging on the internet.
Yeah, no, that's the point I'm getting at. Okay, so on this one, I've got a fill language array. Okay, so the fill language array is coming in, and it is saying button fill. It's saying if the integer is less than or equal to sub, enter the language you know. So I'm going to say that I am going to do three languages. And then we'll enter a language that we know. So VB can go there. PHP can go there. And JavaScript can go there. Those are three that I'm teaching this semester. Okay. So the input box is taking in those languages that I know and I'm putting them in an array. Okay. So if this is less than or equal to the sub plus one. Okay, so let's look at the form. The text number of languages.txt I put in is 3. Okay? And then I said as long as it's less than or equal to... Wait a minute. Okay, as long as it's less than or equal to the integer upper sub plus 1. Pardon?
You got to take my girlfriend
number. Oh, okay.
I'm going to listen to the rest of the course.
All right. Okay. So now we have four number of languages for 0 to number of languages I entered minus 1. And I'm putting it into an array. So I have an array of languages. So I'm putting it into the array. And if I get a message box show, which I shouldn't get, then it tells me the number is outside the array. So on form intro array load, I'm loading up the array. And actually, let's just go through that. C languages shows me the languages I just put in. Some languages taught at BCC is 7. And it shows me the 7 languages that go up there. Languages at BCC using the 4 each is the language taught, and we'll get to those in a minute. So this, if you get out of here and you look at the form, okay, and here's the form. So that is called, a button is called button fill array. This number over here is text num languages. This one is called list box, list language. Okay, so that lists the language. Now, if you look down at the collection, oh, I thought I had a collection on that one. Some languages taught, that's the one, language BCC. That's the one that has the connection. I was looking at the wrong one. It should be there. That's where the collection is. Why am I not seeing that? Some languages taught at BCC, and I thought that was done with the collection. Am I not remembering? I looked at these this weekend, so let's look at it and see. Okay, so where is it getting the languages from? Okay, you're going to help me debug this. Array languages, initial count equals the string is empty. Okay, that's the one that is being brought in. Languages at BCC. Array language, that's putting it out. But there's nowhere I did data entry, so it's there someplace. Button list languages, that's listing mine. Button language BCC. It gives me the length of the array. Oh, I'm an idiot. Okay. As I said, I went over these this weekend. Look at the sitting here. I have a module sitting there.
Oh, it's in the...
I forgot that. Okay. So if I look at this, there it is, duh, okay? Because it has to be there someplace, and I just wasn't looking. I was thinking it was in a collection. That'll teach me for expecting to remember 4 days into the week, okay? So what I've got here is, this is initial upper sub, which is 6, because I've got 7 languages, and the 7 languages run from 0 to 7. So there they are. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 5, 6. So Perl is 6. PHP is 0. GB is 1. PLSQL is 2. JavaScript is 3. Java is 4. C++ is 5. Perl is 6. Okay? And the sub is 6. So that is where they were hiding. As I said, I thought at first that they were in a collection, but they were hiding here. So I have public array languages, and I have public languages BCC. Okay, and this one has got the languages that are taught at BCC. The other one is going to be used. Okay. So I come in here now, and I want to see the languages taught at BCC. So I'm going back to the form, away from the language module, which is the thing that I didn't see, and back to the form. Okay, so this languages at BCC is going to list the languages taught at BCC. Okay. And I did it two ways, and we'll look at the two ways. One is, I said, for language count equals zero, to array language BCC length minus one. Okay? And then I said, okay, now just put them into the item box. Okay, so it's going to go through the length, and it is minus one, and it is going to put them into the language box. So if I run this, some languages taught at BCC. Okay, so I click on that. It says seven. So it's giving me the length. There was seven. And it is now showing me all of the seven. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And again, the index goes from 0 to 6, but there are seven. So those are the seven languages taught at BCC, and I'm adding them to the box. And because the box wasn't big enough to hold them all, it puts in a scroll bar over on the side so I can scroll through them. Okay, then the next way of doing that is to say for each. And it's funny because we looked at that in PHP this morning, before for each, but in PHP it's spelled as one word. So what I'm saying here is for each variable for each as a string in this array. So the array is called array language BCC. And I'm saying when I use the for each, I will step through that array and each one will pick up the name there for each when I step on, when I get to it. So I've got the seven things and I start out with the index at 0, and so it looks and PHP becomes there for each and it displays it. Then it goes back to the for each and BCC becomes the there for each and it displays that. And then it goes back to the for each and PLSQL is... Well, I should be, yeah, but I'm just talking about what it does. So it goes through that and at the end, after it's gone through that, I've got them all there. And I purposely made the boxes different sizes so that you can see it accommodates what it can, but it doesn't accommodate everything. So these things are going in here one at a time, but my point was that the for each starts with the first one, then the next one, then the next one, and brings them in each at a time. Okay, and if you want to see that, you can, you know, step through and put in extras and all the rest. I don't think I can display for each. I'm just kind of curious here. I think I have to set up a variable to do it. Message box, there. I don't think I can get away with this. but I figure we'll try. It did. It let me get away with it. That's great. Okay, so you're watching it go through. I wasn't sure whether it was going to allow it because that's really part of the 4-H. But as I go through and put up the message box 4-H, it is stepping through and showing me. So now the next one is going to be PLSQL. And I say okay, and the next one is JavaScript. And you can see how the 4-H is stepping through each one individually. So that's really good. I didn't know whether I would get away with that. Okay. But that kind of shows you that the 4-H does indeed change each time as you go through. So then you can ask, is the language taught at BCC? So I'll put in VB, and actually I shouldn't have put, it's going to go into it, into the pop-up box, and it comes back, and it says yes. Okay, if I put in a language like XYZ, and I click OK, it comes back and it's actually empty because I didn't put anything in for it to show. So if I put in PHP and say okay, it comes back and shows me a yes. But if I didn't, it shows me nothing. So let's look at the code, why that's true. Okay, so if you look at the code, I said set the box to yes, enter the language to check, and so I enter the pop-up screen, the language to check, and then I put up a message box that showed what I put in, and then I said, okay, for each language check as a string in the list for each item. So it's going through lists for each items and checking. And if language question equals language check. So language check is this, it's going through each one. Language question or word language question is what I entered. So it's comparing those two. If it's true, I put up a yes, and then I ended the if. So I didn't put up an else. That's right. But I didn't put up an else, so it just leaves the box blank. If I wanted to put it in, then I could have added the else. Okay? But it just leaves the box blank if I didn't. And then down on the next one, I went through and did a search on it. Okay, so the difference here is that for one of these, I use the 4-H, and the other one is I coded myself. And then I basically have a search going on looking for it. But I can use the 4-H, and each one inside there, I can say, look at the one that I'm just pointing to. And it adds one to the subscript and does all the rest for me because I'm using the 4-H. Okay, and on that one, if I put in PHP, good. Huh. I'm having not a good day in Visual Basic, am I? That one should be just fine unless it needed something else. So let me run through this whole thing. Fill the language array. PHP, VB, or VP, I put in VB, whatever. See the languages. Some languages taught at BCC. Language at BCC using the for each. Is language taught at BCC, PHP. Yes. Search languages taught at BCC, PHP. And that got a yes, so I have no idea. Okay. And if I say search languages taught at BCC, and I put XYZ in, it steps through each one, doesn't find a match, so puts up the no. And I don't know what I hit when I didn't run right, but... Okay, it goes through and comes up with the no. So basically, it's doing the search. I've got indicator found, starts out at no. If it finds a match, it changes indicator find to yes. If it goes through my search and doesn't find a match, it will stay no. So then I check. If indicator found equals yes, put yes out, otherwise put no out. And as I said, I don't know what I clicked to make it not work. But that's the way it's working. Okay. Questions? Okay, so the big thing I wanted to go over in this one was the for each.
Did you change something on that last one?
No. No, I just had been doing them probably out of order. I think I'm using the subscript that I previously established. Or else I just hit the wrong key. Sometimes I just hit the wrong key. But it's working fine. Is yours? Okay, I think that's because it's using the array that I already have. Huh, we can try it again.
At the array that's the language array mod.
Yeah, enter the language to check. So if I put in VB, it comes back to 7. It goes through and finds it because it was in the second position. If I click it again and I put one that's further down, like Java, then it goes through and does 7 and then goes 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then gets out because it found Java with index of 4. And then the last one is Perl. So if I click on Perl and I enter the language to check, it goes all the way through and finds it on the 6. So it's now finding it on the 6. And then when I click on that, I get the yes. Then if I put in XYZ, it won't find it. But it still goes through the whole thing. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, five, six, and then quits because it checked everything, but it didn't find it, so it didn't change the indicator to yes. I got out of it not because the indicator had changed, but because I no longer, word count was no longer less than array language BCC. Okay. And if I run this without doing anything else, and the language to check, Java, and say okay, it crashes because I hadn't set up the array. In the previous examples, I had set up the array, and it wasn't set up, so if I just go in and do that last example and nothing else, then it hasn't done the setup, because I did the setup in a previous one.
Okay.
So that's why. Right. And if you go and do them in order, then it will work just fine. Okay. Okay, so that's a file close solution. And the next one that they asked about was more arrays or something like that. What was that, the last one? Calculate is the next one. So, calc array. So this one, I put in a bunch of numbers, okay? And that is being done on load. So I am creating it on load. Okay, and there's nothing extra over here, so we're all set. I went back to look and make sure, okay? So if I then come in and say show array, it shows me the array that I set up. Okay? And then I said the for each again. The book is big on the for each. So I did for each, show num as a symbol. So I'm defining a working, I'm basically defining a work area, a variable inside there. So I'm saying for each show num as single, so I'm giving a type to it. So I'm defining it there. Okay? So for each show num as single in num array, so there is no place where I have dimmed num, show num. Okay? So for each one, I bring it out. And that's what I did when I clicked on show array. So it's showing each one. Okay, so now I'm going to total it. So I say show total. And it goes through that for each again, but this time it's adding add num to work total. So add num gets added to work total. And then when I print it out, I get work total and n2. And N2 lets me have two decimal digits. There's a whole series of those that you can go through. If we change it to N1, it shows it with just one decimal digit. Okay, and if we changed it to N3, it would throw 3, etc. So I can choose the number that I want. So N1 just showed it to me with one decimal digit. Presumably I want two decimal digits, so I go back and change that to a 2. And then when I run it, I get the two digits. And then on the next one, I said, okay, now I want to show the average. So I say show average, and show average means that it goes through and does the divide. Okay, so I accumulated the total, and then I came out and I said, okay, I want you to format this as an N2, but rather than give the amount, I said, will total divided by number of array dot lengths. So I could go in and get the average right there in the format. And that was just to point out that I could have done the average separately, set up work average, done the average, and then said text average dot text equals work average, or format work average. But I can actually put a whole formula in there. Okay, the next one, I want to find the highest. So the highest number is 6789. The lowest number is 1234. Okay, and it would still work if I changed the order of things. So I am just using a for loop in these to find it. Okay. And if the one that I'm pointing to is greater than work high, so look how this works. Work high starts out as a zero. So the first number is clearly going to be greater than work high, right? Because work high started out as a zero. So the first number that I bring in is going to be greater than work high. So I just take and put that number into work high. Then the next time through, I'm looking at the second character, and I'm saying, is the second one greater than work high? And if it's greater than work high, then I put it into work high. If it's not, I don't touch work high. Okay? And the reverse finds the lowest number, where I say less than work low. So if I go through... Let's go back up to the array and change them, a few of these. So we'll make that 1-5. We'll make this one 2-6. We'll make this one 2-7. And we'll make this one 1-1. So I've got the numbers out of sequence now. So I say show the array, and it shows the array. Show the total, and that gives me my total. Show the average, and it gives me my average. Show highest, and it tells me 2789. Show lowest, and it comes back with 1156. And you know what? Average isn't right. Now that I've got little numbers, the average can't be 39, right? What did you get for average? But the average of 1123, 12.
Average for me is 80.20.
Well, I don't know how you changed your numbers, so your numbers match mine.
I didn't change anything.
Okay, and that was right. I think it was the idle number. But the average is sure not coming out right. So let me see what we did with average. And I know this program originally worked because I don't put anything out there that doesn't work. Okay, so let's run that. one more time. And when I say show average, okay, so we're getting some kind of interesting numbers for show average. For each as single in num array, work total. Okay, I think I know what I did probably. And that does look like I didn't do it right. Okay. Yeah. What I did, and it was a stupid mistake, and I don't believe I didn't catch it, but that's the fix, is to put in work total equals zero. Because work total is global, and actually this is a good point, because work total is global, it had already picked up some information in it from doing the total. And then when I did the sub, it worked with work total and kept adding to it. So I was getting 39 something, and the actual answer is 1962, and I was getting 39 something, which is double this. So in other words, it still had the total from work total, from getting the total, and it was adding to it. Okay, so this is the fix, is to just put work total equal to zero. But let's prove it. So I'm going to take that out, and I'm going to put in a message box, actually after we add, I'll put it in. And I'm going to show, so I'm going to put out a message box, and I'm going to show work total in the message box. Okay? So when we run it, I'm now showing show array, and I'm saying show total. Now I'm clicking on show average, and it is immediately coming up with 130. Okay? And 130 is adding 117.69. And I don't know why I'm getting all these lovely decimal numbers, but anyway. If I take 117, okay, I can't. My smart board not letting me write over there. So I will write back in the main thing, and I hope I can do that. But it's 117.69. And then I'm adding in 1234. Out to be 130.03. And that's what I've got there, 130.03. Okay. So that's what was happening, is it was adding it to the total. So how do I solve that problem? And it keeps adding to the total, and it gets up to 235 or whatever. And that's the average. So that's not correct. So how do I solve that problem? Very simple. I just come in here and I put work total equal to zero. So I zero it out and accumulate it again. Okay. Now, the other thing I could have done is just know that I had the total and calculate the average without going through the loop, but that would have ruined my example. So now, if I show the total and then show the average, it's coming up to be 1234. And then it just keeps going. And then it goes to 1962. The total started out at 1234 and then kept growing. And it goes to 1962, which makes a lot more sense. Because 117 divided by 6 is going to be that number. Okay? So I hadn't reset it, and therefore it worked on the total that it had previously, and that's why we got into trouble. Make sense?
Yeah. I was going to say, you would have to zero it out.
Okay. I want to look at procedures and functions. The third example is very similar to one we went over in class today, so I'm going to leave that to you to go over. And I'm going to go back and look at procedures and functions because we've only got about 15 minutes. Actually, probably closer to 10. So I'm going to go in and do a project solution. And I am going to open first procedures. And this is kind of a complicated one. So we'll try to get done. But can I have an extra 2 or 3 minutes? Okay, so now we'll go in here. Okay. So I have set up procedures. And I've got a bunch of procedures in here. And they are just subroutines, basically, that I've set up. So I've got sub, and I've got another sub. And all of those are things that I have set up and I'm calling. So those are procedures that I'm calling. Okay. So on this form, if I run the form, when I click on button reach click, it goes and does the function, the procedure called to greet. So it's going and doing the subroutine or procedure called to greet. So I dim read data's date, I take the current date, and it comes up with hello, it is in the current date. So I went and performed the procedure. To perform this procedure, I just need to give its name and then say the two parentheses after it, and it will go and do it. If I'm sending something, which I'm going to be looking at in a minute, if I'm sending something, then I put it inside the two parentheses, and I put it inside the two parentheses on the receiving end, and it can receive it. Okay, so the next one, I want to do the total. So when I click on button total, which is the fourth thing down, it does the sub to total. Okay, so I'm clicking on button total, and it says enter the amount of the check, so 12. The total is 12. Okay? So now I am going to do it again. Enter the amount of the check, and I'll put in 24. And it comes up with 36. And I do it again, and I put in 5, and it comes up with 41. Okay? So it is adding to the totals. Now I said, now comment out static and use this line. So I want to comment out, and I've got to stop its running. And I'm going to comment out static by putting a single quote in front of it and take the single quote away from the dim work total. And now I run it. And I click on total and I put in 12 like I did before, and it comes up with 12. And then I click on it again and I put in 24 like I did before, and it comes up with 24. And then I click on it again and I put in 5 and it comes up with 5. Okay? So now I'm going to comment that out. And take the static and put it back in and run it. And again, when I run it in total and I put in 12 and I see 12. Total and I put in 24 and now I'm seeing 36. And total where I put in 5 and now I'm seeing 41. So what does static do? Static means that it doesn't wipe out what was in word total. It keeps it static. It keeps it the data there. So when I put in static, it retains what was on word total, even though I leave the procedure and come back. It keeps what was in word total. Without static, I hit dim. When it came back in, it wiped out word total and started it at nothing again. Okay, so dim on work total means it's a fresh number every time. Static on work total means it kept what was there and kept accumulating. Okay, the next one I'm going to go over, and I want you to play with this so that when we are back, we can see the difference. This is the difference between passing by reference and passing by value. Okay? And if you have the book, I would read about it. If not, I would go online and read about something having to do with by reference and by value. Okay? So, pass by reference. Enter the amount of the transaction, 200. Enter the percent you're using. I'll enter 10%, so I'm entering 0.1 for 10%. And it comes back with those results, and we're going to look at where it got those results from. Okay? So I was at the routine that says pass by reference. And I said, enter the amount of the transaction, enter the procedure, the percent. And then I said, go do the procedure called calc by ref, passing work amount and work per. Calc by reference accepts those. It is taking the two things that I'm sending, which is work amount, and it's going to be cent amount. And work per, and it's going to be cent per. So then I say, okay, so what I passed was 200 and 0.1. Okay? So what I'm passing up here is 200 and passing 0.1. So it goes down in there and it does the calculation. And 200 times 0.1 is 20. And so it puts out the result from calc by ref is 20. Then it returns, because when a procedure goes out, it then returns. So I return, and the next thing that it puts out, okay, so This is the first thing it put out. The next thing it puts out is back, and it shows, calc by reference shows work amount, and work amount is a 20. Now notice the work amount when I sent it was a 200, but now that I'm back, it is a 20. Okay, because it's the result of the calculation. Then I say, okay, now go to do other calc by reference and send it the amounts. Okay, so it receives, and I've got to move this box a little so you can see what it says. It says 2. So what it passed down was the 20, because that's what it returned. So it passed down the 20 and the 0.1, and multiplied the 20 by the 0.1, and it came up with 2, and it returned that. So when I'm back, it is going to be the 2. So by reference means that it has played around with the original. And as I said, we're going to look at this more when we come back. Pass by value, we're going to do exactly the same thing with pass by value. Okay? So pass by value, I'm going to put in the 200 and the 0.1. And notice what happened here. It did the same pass. It passed down work amount to work per, but this time it has by value. So it passed down the value of 200.01. It did the calculation, which was 20, and printed out the 20. But then when it went back, okay, it had the 200. When I sent it again, it sent the 200 and the 0.1. It did the calculation, came up with 20, displayed that, and then when I went back, it had the 200. Okay? So in this one, the original value didn't get messed up. The original value is back there, and it is still the 200. Even though I went and did the calculations. So what, as I said, your book has a good explanation of this. There are good explanations online. And I'd like you to do a little bit of research about that next week. And then we will talk about it again on the Tuesday after next week. Because next week, remember, I'm out. There's a lab going on here. You and Chris should really...